All right. All right, Papa's Football Podcast faithful. I am not going to cut that out of the final broadcast. That is one Basement Howard unleashing into the microphone. We are joined right now by diehard Seahawks fan, comedian, and improv artiste. Do you call them improvers? Improvisationalists?
This is the one time we need Pete here. He's the improv guy.
Hey, he does as much as me.
Are you an improv guy?
We've both
too?
Done our improv 101. We're joined by Sacramento comedian
Sacktown,
Corky McDonald. Corky, are you there, buddy?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Sorry, we had you muted in case you said anything witty during your introduction those last 15 seconds. It was muted and lost, and I apologize.
Well, that was all my best stuff. I was just running.
Shit, I knew you would have killed
every time.
So, Corky, Brian over here, our guy who wrangles the funny people to come in and talk, he just comes up. He's like, I got a funny dude, diehard Seattle fan. The Seahawks, as a Skins fan, for me, occupy a special place on a couple levels. They've eliminated the Skins, I think, their last three playoff appearances.
Can I tell you?
Sounds right, yeah.
Real quick story, and I'll leave it back to Corky. The RG3 Seattle game, I was at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time I shit my pants as an adult was during that game.
Really?
True story.
Wow. Was it just liquor, or was it rage?
It was. The restaurant was so crappy, we won't call it Grill in George, across the street from Georgetown.
Just say,
who's
shit, man?
Brian's Grill.
Brian's Grill, all right.
By George Mason University.
Okay.
We all went, and they have one shitter.
Ugh.
And they got everyone in the restaurant sick at the same time.
Oh, okay.
And so I will remember the Seattle game forever, because I had to go home with shit in my pants and explain it to my wife as a grown-ass man.
I have a special memory of that one, too. Sorry, I know we have a guest on, and I was just, he's here to just laugh thus far.
Corky's like, okay, so Brian's a shitter, and he shits his pants as an adult.
There was a girl who met me via Twitter, and she was a sweet girl, but I didn't really want to fuck her, to put it diplomatically. And out of nowhere, she's like, fuck
Did she
it.
Have a penis? I'm really disappointed.
I said I didn't want to fuck her.
You didn't, or you did?
It was.
All right, going on. I apologize.
No, so she one weekend is like, I'm just coming to town. I'm going to come to town. And I'm like, holy shit, this will not end well. She picks I guess that was wild card weekend.
Oh, God.
Shows up that Friday night. I miss really all games that Saturday, the early game that Sunday, nothing goes on because I'm like, I'm not getting any pussy, but like, I'm not going to fuck you either. And Sunday afternoon, she sticks around for the Skins to go up 14-0, finally leaves, and they shit the bed, and she calls from the road laughing, goes, ha ha, you should have let me stay there. And I didn't know how to react because I was like, this is a religion to me. Like, I really wanted to be like, you fucking cunt, and hang up.
That's what he called her. He's like, you whore! Yeah. You cunt, I hate you!
Like, it's nothing to jest about. But yeah, that's Seattle for me in a nutshell. Like, she's the hot girl that's fucked a million guys, and I'm like one of the loser guys that got fucked once, and it's like the best memory of my life, so I hold on to it. But she's been to the dick rodeo a thousand times.
Both of those stories are metaphorical explanations for what happened to the Redskins that game.
So bad.
I'm surprised you remembered it.
Shat their pants and blue-balled themselves.
I'm just surprised you remembered it from all the many playoff games that Seattle's won since. I'm like, you really can remember that? Because for Redskins fans, they barely got anything to hang their hat on, whereas like Seattle just keeps going back to the Super Bowl.
Well, the reason I remember that game so much is because RG3's knee was, like, poking out of his pants.
Yeah.
And Shanahan, don't worry. Walk it off. Go back out there. You're okay.
And, like, he is not coming back in. He is not. Oh, he's coming back in. Oh, he's coming. Half of him's coming back in.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll never blame Shanahan for that. If a fucking grown man says, I can play, you're like, okay, sure.
You're a football meathead. Played injured at baseball because I wanted to stay in there. You want to stay
baseball
in.
Injury?
You gotta
Come
have
on.
A. Hey. There's a reason I can't remember.
What did you tear your batting glove? Sorry, I mean, come on.
I tore my innings during practice. Yeah. But in all honesty, you're an over-testosterone man. You think you can do anything. The coach, when he couldn't move towards the end of the game.
Yeah, but the coach has a million things going on. Like, you're
what, you can't see his knee poking out of his freaking nose?
You're a general on the field of battle. If the tank platoon commander comes up and is like, yeah, my tanks can roll. You're like, okay, cool. Tanks are in. Send them in. And then, yeah, their treads are all fucked up.
Didn't we have Grossman back then? Or am I crazy?
He might have been third string.
You could have put Grossman in. Shanny, his son, could have.
Mayhaps.
Got him through the game. We might have won, but
we're depressing Corky, man. Corky wants to talk about a winning fucking team.
Must be nice.
Team that matters. I'm so tired of spending every fucking week talking about the Redskins.
Yeah.
This has been every season I've been in your fucking show, man. So.
Hey, man, it is what it is.
Let's talk about winners. Can we talk about winners?
Yeah, get the losers.
Well, wouldn't it be the Ravens there, buddy, because the Oakland took them down. So settle down with that.
So, Corky, what are your thoughts so far on this season for the Seahawks? I know you're down Marshawn at this point. He retired during the Super Bowl quite famously. How are you feeling so far?
Well, the Marshawn thing actually is weird because it kind of just hit me yesterday. Like, it was like kind of a breakup that doesn't hit you until 2 months after.
Yeah.
At first, you're like feeling freedom and stuff like that. And then 2 months later, you're like, well, shit, I just miss having her around. The thing with Marshawn, watching yesterday, you know, Kristen Michael, CJ Spiller catching the touchdown, I'm like, he's never coming back. This isn't a stopgap until Marshawn gets back. He's done. He's making movies with Bear Grylls now.
Oh, God. I just...
And it,
no, sorry.
It just hit me yesterday.
Oh, that he is... It's gone. Yeah, I hadn't been thinking of him much, and I don't know if you had this on, like, standard TV a million times, but I stream my games a lot via my Verizon phone. Like, Verizon lets you watch free NFL in-market. And Jesus, there is a fucking ad with... Russell Wilson, I think, Antonio Brown, and who the fuck else is in there? But it's all about Xbox One and how you're supposed to, like, they want them to connect with the fans.
Von Miller's the third.
Von Miller, there you go. And then at the end, there's Marshawn in the corner, like, and he has some dumb, like,
y'all. No, he has a great one-liner. It's something about you got to work on your people skills.
There you go.
It's something ridiculous.
Marshawn might have the best one-liners out there ever. Your Twitter handle makes me laugh every time I look at it.
I borrowed that. Yeah, no, I had to borrow Marshawn's line
from the Super Bowl. What does it say?
I'm just here so I don't get fined. I literally just created this Twitter account for this fucking show.
That makes me laugh.
Because John is always up my ass. And I'm like, fine, you want a Twitter account? I'll give you a Twitter account.
But the less known one that's even better, just run through a motherfucker face.
There you go.
And over and over. Just run through a motherfucker face. And people probably don't know that one because it's censored.
Yeah.
But YouTube it, and it's like some, and I can't remember who's interviewing, but it's like a big name show, and they ask him this question, like, how do you do how do you do beast mode, whatever it is, and he's just like, I just run through a motherfucker face, and that is my favorite quote of all time. So I understand you're missing Marshawn Lynch, because I miss him just for his interviews.
Well, I gotta ask. Sorry, go ahead. Well, I was gonna say, Corey, so if I were a Seattle fan, you know, I'd be a little nervous looking at the situation with, you know, Marshawn being retired, and now Russell's got a torn ligament in his knee, and yet he's going to be playing on that. So how are you looking at the rest of the season from here going forward?
Well, before the season, seeing the early bye killed me. You know, seeing the early bye, that's, you never really want an early bye, especially when your team is supposed to do great things in the second half of the season. And they have such a tough schedule in the second half of the season. But now that early bye is a blessing. I mean, it's not just Russell Wilson. It's Tyler Lockett, you know. Doug Baldwin got banged up. The O-line is banged up. The Jaron Reed, one of the top-round picks on the D-line. So the injury bug has hit Seattle this year. And they've been playing with fire with underpaying their O-line, putting the shitty O-line out there for year after year. And I think it finally got them this year early.
Seriously. They don't put any draft picks towards the other line. I think they signed a couple of guys on the cheap towards the end of free agency. They really
they did. They signed probably the worst guys, Jamarcus Webb and Bradley Sowell.
Yeah, Webb.
And they did actually draft a first-round O-line this year, but he got hurt right away, and he just actually came back yesterday for his first game. So, and he looked good in preseason, but, you know, I mean, he's a rookie. It was his first game, and he still – kind of got blown up a lot yesterday, but held his own in the second in the second half. So
I could be wrong, but I remember people thought they overdrafted him too. Like he was taken a little early for
that. To be honest with the Seahawks, I mean, you're not going to know about this with the Redskins. They don't have any other needs. That okay, they were all dressed.
Cocksucker.
Hey, actually, Corey, we had a debate last week that's still kind of ongoing. I think it comes up with the Seahawks. But, you know, looking at Russell Wilson, and it applies to Aaron Rodgers too. Now that they're both getting celebrity pussy, does that mean that their skills are going to degrade? Like, are we going to see where's on-field performance for both these guys the rest of their careers now that they got the ring and they got some action from a chick who is definitely famous as well?
Yeah, maybe Aaron Rodgers, but I swear to God, Russell Wilson will never not be a competitive, just premier NFL quarterback. I'm telling you. The reason why I love Russell Wilson as my quarterback is the reason why I hate him as a person. He is the most hard-headed, extremely religious, just dead focused on his job guy in the world. And he'll always be a good quarterback because of that, but he's the most boring interview. You know, says glory to God when the light changes at a stoplight. I mean, he's insufferable. So I don't think Sierra is going to make any changes to that. He's still going to be Russell Wilson.
I so wish we had week one podcast potted up right now where you were saying I was – discussing because he didn't have a very good game, and I blamed it on instead of throwing ropes to his wide receivers, he's throwing ropes on Sierra's back. And John over here, come on, man, fuck my mama. I believe was the quote. I don't know if you remember that or not.
That does sound like me.
The funniest Evan thing.
I am a street black man. Yeah.
you have it down point. He was discussing that I was talking about how he's so religious, and I believe they brought it up to me that...
Oh, Sierra's got a kid, yeah, so the kid is demanding.
And he was also married previously, according
yes,
to
me. Yes, yeah, he had the OJ blonde trophy wife like thing going with the first one. And then I guess...
Nicole Brown template.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Oh, well, you got to plan for your after football career.
Hey, glory to God, I didn't cut her head off. Yeah.
Was it? I don't know if you have any special insight being out there, but she was fucking around on him, or how did that work out?
That was the rumor. That was the rumor why Golden Tate got shipped out, because apparently she fucked Golden Tate, and that led to their divorce. But I mean, to be honest, like the 2013 Seahawks that were the Super Bowl champion Seahawks, there was so much dirt going on in that team that nobody knew about. Like Golden Tate had a black eye at the Super Bowl that nobody knew about until a couple months later. Apparently Percy Harvin body slammed him and punched him out.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like the week of the Super Bowl, which is just nuts. You have that kind of dysfunction going on in your team, and then you go out and just kill the Broncos.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought the story behind that was a bit of a divide about Russell Wilson himself. Like there were kind of two camps about, like, is Russell Wilson black enough to be called a black quarterback? I thought that was kind of like one of those latent things going on with them.
I remember that going on. Yeah, I remember that going on. I didn't know too much about that. I didn't know how much about that. But Percy Harvin, I mean, that guy's gonna have problems, you know, in a bank line. I mean, that guy's he's a walking problem.
Getting back to Golden Tate though, I fucked Golden Tate twice. He's pretty, you know. How could you not fuck Golden Tate?
Let me look him up real fast.
Because he's on the Lions now, right?
He's on the Lions.
That's a loser ass team.
I have him on my fantasy team, and he got me a point.
You have low standards when it comes to man fucking. I'm sorry. I'm not very moved by Golden
Tate. Hey, mocha skin and muscles.
Dick's gotta be good.
and you got that right. That was a great line no one heard.
What? No.
His name's Golden, his dick's gotta be good.
No, I love that move when a guy allegedly has someone close to him fucked. And it's like all you can do is ship them out. If you're like, wasn't that the whole thing with LeBron and was it Delonte West or something?
Oh Jesus! Yeah, Delonte West fucked his mother.
Yeah, fucked his mom.
That's a whole different scenario.
Like that guy just dropped an A-bomb on your life, and all you can be like is, you're off the team. Like it's fucking fourth grade kickball. You're not playing with me again.
You know he said, I just run through your mama's face. Yeah. Over and over.
You think Delonte? You think Delonte West like still calls LeBron James like, how you doing in school, son?
I'd call him be like, I still haven't washed my fingers.
I love that though. Like some guy bareback dropped a load in your mom, and all you can be like is, get off the team, sir. This business relationship is over.
LeBron, if it goes through, you're gonna call me dad.
You can't. Like, you know, you want to get biblical and blow in their mom, but it doesn't work that way.
Hey, Screech might have blown in my mom, so who knows?
Have you guys been watching Ballers at all on HBO?
Ballers?
Yeah, The Rock Show.
I NFL. Quit before the end of season two. It was a little too
You can afford
shit
HBO.
For my taste.
I just watched the first show of Stranger Things.
Oh. Yeah.
Due to this man's suggestion.
Good shit, right?
It was all right.
Okay, get the fuck off.
Little Star Trek-y for me.
Okay. All right, Captain Cool Guy. I forgot. Let's just talk about fucking black guys to butch it up over here.
You know, you suck one black guy's dick, and you label me for life.
All right, Howard, you actually had a question that was going somewhere.
No, man, it was just they definitely used that as part of the inspiration for one of the storylines in Ballers, where the wide receiver, ends up hauling out his teammates.
Season one, I think. Yeah. Oh god. See, that is the problem with black women aging fantastically. That would never happen with like white players. Like no tight end's mom is gonna get fucked where it's like no offensive lineman's fucking bull ox mother who's like 50 and 600 pounds and in the heartland is going to get accidentally fucked by the talent on the team.
Jesus Christ. Can I bring up something?
Sure.
Howard brought this up years ago. When Wilson, Cousins, and RG3 were all drafted, would you like to run with this, sir?
Yes.
Please do.
Corky, that is a curiosity to me. So going back to this moment we were talking about earlier where you had Russell Wilson versus RG3, their careers have just gone in two separate directions since then. Both franchises have gone in two different directions. When that draft happened, do you remember like what you were thinking about, we got Wilson, and I can't believe Luck and RG3 are going at the top. Like, I'm jealous of those two teams. I guess we got this guy in the third round who isn't even 6 feet tall. Like, what was your thought process going into that season?
I remember the day that happened, when Russell Wilson got drafted. I was buying oxys from my dealer.
So you're a comedian. We have problems.
And we were watching it, and it came when I go, who the fuck is this guy?
Why is he
they
so little?
Bruce Irvin first round. Yeah, exactly. And who's that blonde Nicole Brown sitting?
What a fuck his wife. But not in 20 years.
Yeah. Oh,
but what was really weird was that they had signed Matt Flynn to a huge contract.
Oh, I fucking forgot that.
That was weird.
And he won out in camp.
He took the job from him, and I was just like, okay, this is just off the rails now, because I wasn't a fan of Wilson when I first saw him. He was just captain check down and run around. But then about after the fourth game, you saw everybody get behind him, and I was an early adopter of he's better than RG3. He's better than Luck. Even though that's my team, I was like, yeah, but still, he's better than those guys. He's got it put together. And RG3 had the better year, but I don't know. I guess I always knew Russell Wilson was going to be the better quarterback long term.
Yeah, because, no, I definitely, like, told John on the show back then. I was like, I would have taken him before those other two guys just because you could wait till the third round. Whereas if you were the Redskins and if you were Indianapolis heading in that season, your team was really fucking bad. Whereas, like, Seattle was just so close to being a badass team. I had no idea he'd be as good as he ended up being. But, man, he just, like, he fit that team in a way where you look at Indianapolis now, too. Indy and the Redskins are both pretty fucking terrible right now.
The one in
three? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know. Luck got paid well, right? I mean, he got paid. He's the highest paid. Or was, at least, for a while?
I believe
he's very close. He's on a re-up that I know he was on the shitty rookie contracts, but that's behind him now. He's at least, 25 years? I'm 22 years.
I believe they broke a record with him, though. I think he's the highest paid quarterback.
Oh, is he? Yeah. Well, that's good. He doesn't need anyone else around him. He'll be fine.
Yeah,
Well, I have somebody to
Russell
block
was the highest paid for like 2 weeks until Luck signed his. But, you know, him being so good and being so cheap was why they got to sign such a hard D-line and your free agents like Michael Bennett, Cliff Averill on the cheap as well. It won't happen again for Seattle. They got to do some, you know, that's why the O-line doesn't get paid at all anymore. If they want to keep it to a dynasty.
Yeah, it's why the Patriots should be penalized for the fact that Tom Brady gets to take $15 million, and they're like, oh, what a trooper taking a team-friendly deal. Yeah, he's the only guy in the NFL whose wife brings home $85 million a year. He pays the fucking cable bill in that house. That's it.
I never even thought of that.
Yeah, it's nothing to him. He can be like, cool, you want me to take league minimum? I don't give a shit. I'm going to go home in my golden Rolls Royce now. Fuck you.
I'm going to go throw a lot of balls to a bunch of white guys.
Yeah.
Well, shit. Do you guys wonder what Russell Wilson's paying in alimony? That's the hard part of, like, did she cheat or not? Because I think that's a big indicator how much, like, he's got to pay out to her at the end of the day.
Oh, I hope he had the lawyers involved to say she was, like, fucking the Supersonics on the side, you know?
Golden Tate's.
They're probably gone by then. But
wrote his name out on her back. And he took a picture of it and sent it to his lawyer. Because I'll be honest with you, have you heard anything? And dude could afford it, but I hope she didn't get shit if she was fucking a bunch of guys on the side.
Yeah, seriously. That's
as competitive as Russell Wilson is, I'm sure he got some prenup signed or something. I mean, he's not gonna get taken for any more than he has to.
Man,
be.
I thought he got married in college, though. I thought this is like one of those things.
It was young as fuck, yeah.
Before he got the money, it's like, this is just about love.
No,
right. Yeah.
This is about, I'm 20-something years old, and I don't want to fuck before marriage. That's why it's okay to fuck before marriage, Russell. I'm sorry.
It's creepy, right? It's creepy.
What, holding your seed before marriage? It absolutely is, especially when you phrase it that way.
Sierra's got, like, a scar on her from the wedding night. She's busted a load through her skin.
I thought you were going for an escaped slave joke.
Like, No.
I don't know if I want to do this.
But thanks for going there.
You're a gross man.
You can look at my fuzzy head and think that I would go that direction.
I mean, the man had gotten
laid every year. Every year the Olympics go through more condoms than anybody else. It's because your bodies are in prime physical condition.
Condoms. Oh, you didn't know this? Yeah, at the Olympic Village, they give out something like 50,000 condoms.
I'm allergic.
Right.
Which I hope means there's like 150,000 fucking. Just a lot of pulling out, Olympic pulling out.
Best thing I read on that is one of the women's soccer team players from back in the day got married, I guess, like 3 or 4 months before the Olympics one time. And she just got to the Olympic Village and was like, why did I get fucking married before I showed up? This was the worst idea ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a buffet of the world's best bodies just walking around you at all time in peak condition.
I love how they're all tearing through condoms because none of them are out of shape to the point where it's like fucking Saran wrapping an earthworm. They're all just like, oh, I'm hard. This is this is diamond dick right now. you could goddamn horseshoe a condom onto me. That's how hard I am. How perfect my D is.
Corky, we had Gino Bisconti on, and that was kind of the joke. It's like, all right, I'm almost in my 40s. Do you want to deal with what's left of this erection? Or, do you know, condom's not going to happen.
Absolutely. Do you want it in a condom, or do you want it in you? Because both aren't happening.
This half-erect, pathetic Johnson might do something if you don't make me put a bag on it.
Like fucking Frankenstein's monster when it only got like a third of the juice it needed. It's just like one arm's twitching. That's it. I think it's alive. So, Corky, you were saying you're a Sacramento guy, and this came up beforehand. I'm going to act like it didn't. Were you a fan at all of Don and Mike? Or I'm sorry, not Don. Well, Don and Mike were out there too for a long time, but Don Geronimo as well. My radio hero. I love the man. Were you a listener at all?
Yeah, well. When Don and Mike were on in Washington, actually, they had a huge following in Sacramento. They actually came out here and did remotes a couple times.
I recall that.
I do remember that. I think it was middays, though.
Sacramento Dance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they did a show that sold out the Memorial Auditorium, this theater downtown. And, I mean, it was the only time that the things ever sold out a beer. And, I mean, it was like Mardi Gras in there. It was just chicks flashing the big screen for about 30 minutes before the show started. The camera would just pan around and chicks would just flash. And it was everything that the Don and Mike show was on stage. it was back in the day, so they did a Monica Lewinsky contest where how far you could get a cigar on these girls on stage. And these were girls from the audience.
Jesus
this wasn't
Christ.
My show.
Why didn't we ever get this in DC, dude? We're a local crew. I don't remember.
Because Cali is way cooler, man.
Well, yeah, I was so Cali.
We're Virginia. You just got to shove cigarettes in their contest.
But they let you smoke them.
I lost because I tried to put the whole carton.
It was off the hook. It was crazy. And then when Don and Mike split up, he came out here, I think, after stopping somewhere else and was on the air for about a year. They gave him, like, general manager duties at the local station and stuff, and it never worked. He treated everybody like shit. Nobody liked him.
Like, as in the people under him he treated like shit, or what?
Yeah, pretty much. And he really hated himself, too. It came through on air. He just did not like himself.
If you're a comedian or a radio guy, if you don't have some little self-deprecation and dislike yourself, there's a problem.
No, that's absolutely
just putting it out there.
Right. So we had him at the club one night for a show where we interview people, you know, with interesting jobs or local celebrities. And it was, for a guy whose career has been in media, I mean, it was the worst interview, you know, ever. He apologized during the interview for how bad of an interview he was.
Wow.
He was giving it or getting it?
We were interviewing. He sat there on stage and we interviewed him because in this show, you do improv based upon the interview, you know?
Okay.
And he just wouldn't go along with bits. He would shut down stuff, you know, not want to talk about things. It's like, you know, why are you here?
Right.
But he burned a lot of bridges. He was out of town in like a year. Or if he's not out of town, he's just off the radio.
I know he's not on air. I think he still does his podcast from out your way. But,
yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but like he used to do a lot of coke, right? So this is more a byproduct of quitting.
I don't know that. I know in the day... You know what? Fuck it. I'm not saying shit. I'm not saying shit. Don Geronimo, I love you. Please get on my show someday. All he did was win. That's all I know.
He's half the reason you have a radio show now. I will give him that much credit, man. Like,
is Mike Camara still on the radio?
Mike Camara does his own podcast.
He does a pod too, yeah. They're both doing pods. No, Don is literally the reason I do this shit. Like, I was like, I want to be funny and do things on air. And then he would describe his life with, like, his wife and his kid. And living in a mansion and just going home and playing Xbox and whacking it. And I'm like, I can do that.
I'm good at whacking it.
Yeah, it sounds great. It's like comedy without the traveling. Like, you just go back to your house.
Yeah.
And my buddy Shane once said it. He's like, you don't want to be on radio. You just want to be Don Geronimo. And I'm like, yeah, that's about it.
And you're talking comedy.
It's a fucking dream.
I've got to tell Corky, I just moved back from San Diego to D.C. And... Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how spoiled I was when it came to the comedy in San Diego. I just showed up, bought the host a beer, and I'd get my time. Arlington, we're going to be there. I still haven't written a set, but it's 3 minutes, so who cares?
There you go.
They do bringer shows out here. And
that it?
I can't believe for 3 minutes of time I've got to bring five people. So anyway, I'm going to plug this real quick. Anybody want to come out to O'Sullivan's in Arlington? Come see the whole Papa's Basement cast, and I'm going to tell 3 minutes of dick jokes because...
Wait, when is that?
Sunday.
This Sunday?
It's this Sunday.
Oh, shit.
Seven to nine.
So all right.
You have to have five people to get 3 minutes?
3 minutes. When I was in San Diego, I'd go to, like, it's literally famous, the Comedy Palace, and I'd get... whatever time slot I wanted, and 5 to 7 minutes just to show up because they knew me. And now that I'm in the East Coast, and I don't know, do you host at the Sacramento,
Sacramento Comedy Spot.
Comedy Spot. Are you a host, or do you do a little bit of everything there?
A little bit of everything. I do host some shows, but I have a regular Friday show, a regular Saturday show. The Friday show changes. The Saturday show is the... it's called Anti-Cooperation League. It's our flagship show. It's the show that I told you about where we interviewed Don Geronimo on.
Awesome. So you, like, have the weekend prime show, and you have stage time. This is what I'm getting at. It's like and this isn't even a comedy club, it's a bar.
Is that right?
So I'm ready to hang myself and go back to California as fast as possible.
Thorky, that's awesome, man. I really respect the hell out of you doing both improv and stand-up. I know it's kind of like the Jets versus the Sharks type shit, but...
but you know what? In all honesty, like Pete, I could see him doing both, and I could see you doing both. There's certain people, and certain, like, I suck at improv, but I can kind of do it. But there's certain people that just have that knack that they can just be funny at any time.
Whenever I hear I can see Pete doing both, it's usually a picture of a man and then a picture of a woman. But,
well, the last time we had Pete here and he had a few too many boozy Mountain Dews, I think it was you on one end and me on the other. Yeah, we pretended he was the girl.
Corky, man, thanks again. Is there anything like our listeners can do if you're, because it sounds like you're pretty Sacramento-based, but if they want to see your comedy, what can they find on YouTube, Twitter, all that?
Yeah, go ahead and search on SoundCloud and iTunes for the Potato Bureau podcast.
Okay.
It's a musically inspired podcast, musically inspired comedy podcast we've been doing for a while. And one of my friends down at the Comedy Spot is running an Improv with Friends podcast. I've been guesting on that a lot.
Tight, man.
Other than that, just look for the stuff on YouTube. Search
Corky,
my name.
What's your Twitter?
At Corky Knievel.
Okay, and do you have Facebook or anything else?
No. But okay. I'm pretty good at Twitter. I'm pretty good at Twitter.
You're so good at Twitter, I found you, and I begged you to be on our show. So, your tits.
Guys, he spells it like Evil Knievel, so if you can't figure it out, just Google Evil Knievel, then write Corky Knievel, and there you go.
Corky's like me. He likes to pretend who he thinks his father is, so he just decided that Evil Knievel is his dad, so he's fucking badass.
So, what are you saying?
Corky, thanks again, man. Hope you come on later this season. All right.
Great. Have a good night.
Corky, the man. Thank you.
Thanks, man.